Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Good morning, my Catholic brothers and sisters. Jesus 911 on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. My name is Ruben Nava. My partner, Jess Romero. We are a two-man car. We are 10-8. That means we're open for calls. And we're on Soul Patrol. Good morning, Jesse.
Reporting for duty, sir.
Man.
Hey, Ruben, we got a good show today. We got another. I always like to hear from men who have had a profound conversion back to their faith, and especially guys that are first responders, because they have a particular role of importance, or they have that sheepdog role in society. So I like to hear when a good man has this reconversion back to his faith, especially these sheepdogs. And I like to hear the way Jesus Christ started unpeeling the onion, so to speak.
Okay, that sounds good. And we also probably want to start a little trend here, some short Catholic joke of the day. And, you know, Jesse, you wrote a book with Catholic jokes.
Yes, sir.
Tell the people what the name of it is.
It's called Our Mouths Are Filled With Laughter. Oh, I got some pretty good jokes in there, actually.
So
I've compiled some pretty good jokes in there.
I have compiled some jokes, too. Maybe they're probably some of the same ones you have in your book. But here's the first one real quick. Now, here's the scene. Because, you know, Catholics have a warped sense of humor. Catholic cops, or cops in general, have a warped sense of humor. So I got a kick out of this one. The scene, there's a picture of the scene in New York City. The man's going up to jump off a building. Up rushes a good Irish cop. The cop yells up to the man, "Don't jump, think of your father." The man replies, "Haven't got a father, I'm going to jump." So the cop goes through a list of relatives, mothers, brothers, sisters, etc. Each time the man says, "Haven't got one, going to jump." Desperate now, the cop yells up, "Don't jump, think of the Blessed Virgin Mary." The man replies, "Who's that?" The cop yells, "Jump, Protestant, you're blocking traffic." No offense to my Protestant brothers. That's just a joke.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
So there's your first joke. All right.
Hey, well, you know, Ruben, St. Michael's the patron saint of policemen. So just want to say, St. Michael, pray for us.
Yes.
Hey, let's we've got a first responder that we're going to be talking to today about his journey of faith. And from what you told me, Ruben, he's the black Catholic. And I love to hear the conversion stories of my brother black Catholics, because there's, first of all, there's not that many of them. And so it just warms my heart when I hear about their reconversion or conversion story. His name's Todd
Bourgeois.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about him, Ruben?
Yeah, he's a 58-year-old married man with four children. He's a captain firefighter, so he leads a squad. In from Lafayette, Louisiana. So, you know,
there's a lot of black Catholics out there.
There is. That's a bedrock of Catholicism in Louisiana. So, I had the opportunity to talk with him and hear his story. And, you know, I immediately hit it off. And so I thought that the audience need to hear his story, and because it's going to inspire other people, especially other first responders, to man up and to start living your faith. And because we're in a uniform, Justin, you probably saw it, that, you know, when you're a man of substance, a man of faith, you have you carry a lot of weight. The people look up to you, whether they want to tell you or not, they look up to us in uniform. So when you see somebody who's wearing his faith on a sleeve, it's powerful.
It sure is. And let me tell you, I think first responders are going to be held. Even yesterday's gospel, it says too much has been given, much will be expected.
Right.
And first responders, first of all, have been given an incredible amount of power and authority in society. And so they're going to be held to a higher account on Judgment Day when they die and see the Lord Jesus Christ. Ruben, is Todd on the air?
Yeah, Todd, you there?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Todd. Good morning, Captain Bourgeois. Good to have you with us.
Oh, it's I can't tell you what a pleasure it is for me to be here today with you guys, fellow first responders, and just one correction. Even though I have many black brothers that I look up to, I'm a Caucasian.
Oh, okay.
Just a little correct. Well, it's not that it makes a difference, but yeah.
Well, that's my bad. My bad.
But no, it's no problem. But yeah, guys, I mean, just imagine this. This is how I feel today. You go around the world doing battle, and every day you read dispatches of great commanders across the world, and you read dispatches every day of them in their battles. And one day you walk into a garrison, and you see those commanders you've been reading about every day. And here I am today in a garrison, finally getting to talk to those guys I've been reading about. So just imagine that. That's kind of how I feel today.
That's awesome.
Hey, we're two nobodies that want to tell everybody that there's somebody named Jesus who could save anybody.
Yeah.
We're just two nobodies with a microphone in front of us. But yeah, welcome to the program, my friend. Hey, tell us a little bit about growing up in small town La Follette, Louisiana, farming community. Give us a little bit of your journey of faith. You know, how you grew up as a Catholic. Did you you ended up going off to the Navy for a while? Tell us a little bit about, so the audience can get to know who you are, my friend.
Yeah, sure, Jesse. Thank you. Yeah, I grew up in a little bitty town just north of Lafayette, Louisiana. Actually, the name of the town is Church Point, Louisiana. So I mean, just the name can tell you what kind of community I grew up in.
That's right. You were meant to be Catholic.
Yeah. Yeah, very devout Catholic family. You know, my dad was the man of the family, like he should be. I mean, he was the one that professed the faith in our home. Mm. You know, woke us up every Sunday morning to go to church, put our best Sunday best clothes on. You know, it was demanded, you know, it wasn't an option. And our faith was really, really preached to us by our dad. Matter of fact, you know, one of the most vivid memories of my dad growing up was every night kneeling around his bedside and him, you know, saying the nightly prayers with us.
So, wow. What a beautiful memory.
Yes, it is. And that's how I grew up. I mean, in the Catholic family. And then, you know, of course I left home and went away and went to the Navy, and, you know, here I am today. But just the childhood I grew up in, it was just so Catholic. And I guess, you know, that's where my foundation was laid, and kept that Catholic spirit in my heart, you know, just from my upbringing, I guess you could say.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Todd, we say it all the time, that, and we point it out to our listeners, that the man has an even greater impact on the faith of his children if they see him getting on his knees and praying with the family, like you said your father did with you. And if they should leave the faith, they have more. There's a greater chance, greater likelihood that they will return as a result of their father.
That's so true. You know, it's just one other thing is, you know, I'm old enough. I'm not that old, but I'm old enough in my community. I grew up. I made my first communion in the old mass at the communion rail, kneeling down, you know, accepting our Lord on my tongue. And to this day, I still do that because of that's the way I was brought up, you know.
Yeah, amen.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the other ways of accepting our Lord, but it just stuck with me, you know. I remember there was old Monsignor Bienvenue. He was the priest when I made my first communion. And another vivid memory I have was accepting our Lord at the rail. And I remember something happened. One of the hosts was dropped on the floor, and he was adamant about getting everybody back. And he picked that host up. He didn't want anybody else to touch it. And he consumed that host right then and there. And that's just a profound memory I have.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just.
That's the believer,
you know,
right there.
Yeah. Right. Yes. And Jesse, you know, and Ruben, I just believe maybe that's one of our problems today with, you know, with some of our Catholic brothers and sisters, you know, with about the true presence.
That's right.
When you
change the practice, you change the faith, you know, it just goes hand in hand.
Right.
Well, that's what we as Catholics, when you receive communion, especially us that know better, if we receive in the traditional manner, you provide an example with everybody else out there in the congregation. And they're saying, why does this guy receive on his knees? Why does he receive on his tongue? I thought that was just a Ritz cracker. Why all the devotion? So I think the more Catholics that go back to the traditional way of receiving Holy Communion, that's what's going to recatechize the church and have people believe in the real presence of Jesus Christ. That's standing up and putting your hands out. That's been a disaster in the Catholic Church.
Amen.
Hey, Todd, yes. So tell us a little bit. We're the same age. The 60s, 70s, 80s, it was a tough time. Liberalism came in, the hippie movement, the anti-Vietnam establishment, liberalism, sexual revolution. Want to hear from you about, did you stray away from your Catholic faith a little bit early in your life? And what brought you back to the practice of your faith? So we'll pick it up on the next segment with Todd Bourgeois, the a captain from the Lafayette, Louisiana Fire Department, talking about his journey of faith, muscular Christianity. Ruben?
We'll be right back. Don't chase that dial. Want to hear that story.
This is Jesse Romero.
And I'm Terry Barber.
From the Terry and Jesse Show. And we invite you to listen to the Holy Hour of Power, High Energy Catholic Radio. We're two Catholics with a PhD in common sense. We're on Monday through Friday on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
What we're going to give you is masculine Catholic teachings on the faith. You know, we say we're too inspired to be tired, we're too protected to be dejected, and we're too renewed to be subdued. Why? Because we believe in Jesus Christ and His bride, the Church. And we will take each issue of the day and show you how the Catholic Church has the answer for our culture. What we really do is bring men back into the Catholic Church, which it's about time to do. We want men to be leaders in their Catholic faith so that they can bring their family to heaven.
Our program is not right versus left, it's right versus wrong. And our program is where Catholicism and culture intersect. It's High Energy Catholic Radio.
We're going to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and His bride, the Church.
The Terry and Jesse Show on the Virgin Most Powerful app.
Sirach 11:24 says, "Do not say, I am self-sufficient. What harm can come to me now?" According to St. Catherine of Siena, presumption is like vermin burrowing at the root of the tree of our soul. If we do not uproot it with great care and humility, it will eventually destroy the soul. May God keep us from all presumption of mind and heart, and realize that we depend on Him for everything.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we are a two-man car, but we have a ride-along today. We're taking one of our firemen, first responder brothers with us in our hoop, in our patrol car. And his name is Captain Todd Bourgeois from the Lafayette Fire Department in Louisiana. So he's telling us his story, his journey, coming back to his faith right now.
Todd, let me just jump in and say real quick, the 70s and 80s was a bad time. We had the modernists started destroying the Catholic Mass, ripping off altar rails, taking off all the beautiful practices of Catholicism. You had the sexual revolution, the Vietnam War, you had the hippie movement, you had the homosexual explosion that took off in 69. You had the Woodstock festivals, which ushered in sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This was a very tough time for Catholics. And then the fact that there was modernists in the church that were deconstructing the Mass, a lot of us walked away from our faith. We want to hear about how did that affect you and what brought you back to the practice of your Catholic faith?
Sure. Yes, Jesse. Yeah, you're right. I call it the hippie generation, and I can say I never really strayed from the faith. I always remained Catholic, but I was at that point I was not a very good Catholic. I was like 70% of the Catholics today. You know, I was receiving our Lord on with mortal sin on my soul. Yeah, and I was receiving this. I wasn't receiving the sacrament of confession. You know, I literally thought at that time that, you know, hey, it's between me and Jesus. I could say a prayer, tell him my sins, and I'm good. You know, I just know how stupid that was, right? You know, to this day, thank God. And I guess it's my devout upbringing that never let me leave the Catholic Church, but I wasn't a good Catholic. And, but I can also say this, thank God for my wife. We got married in 1981, and she was the one that, and I'm really embarrassed to admit this now, because, you know, it's one of the problems today with our men being emasculated, and because it's our job as men to keep the faith in our home. But my wife, she remained steadfast, and I can remember just for an example, when we would travel, she was always the one looking for a Mass on Sunday morning, and where I didn't think it was that important, you know, hey, we're not at home, so I can miss Mass. But I can say that, you know, thank God for her that she was the one that really kept us in the faith at that time. So, yes, I did kind of stray. I remained Catholic. I guess, like I said, my devout upbringing kept me close to the church, but I did stray and I did kind of lose the faith, I guess you could say. But thank God, here I am, man. I'm on fire.
Todd, you're not any different than what probably Jesse and I went through, and a lot of Catholics of our generation did the same thing. And here we are, we're back. Lo and behold, it was that upbringing and prayers, I bet, from your parents.
That's right.
You know, that brought you back. So,
yeah,
praise God.
You know, I praise God, man. I could tell you, you know, and I'll tell you some things, you know, as you guys can attest to, because we all have these stories of our profession that just sets off light bulbs in your head that, my God, there is a God. And a few things happened in my life that just affirmed it to me. You know, I guess God works in mysterious ways, man, because he puts these examples in front of you, for you to pick up on them
What was that for you, Todd?
One profound story I can tell you, man, is many, many years ago. I was probably 25 years ago. I responded to a fire, and we lost 5 children and 3 adults. Wow. In a fire early one morning. And I remember it like it was an hour ago. And you know, this wasn't the first fire deaths I have, but it was devastating. This one little boy, the last victim, I found him in a closet, buried under a pile of clothes like a little rat. And it's something about that little boy that just, he changed my life forever. And I, you know, two things that came out of this incident that I finally realized through the years that God put everyone on this earth for a purpose. And the second thing that came out of this incident for me was that you must do the best that you do at everything you do. And why is that important? And here's why. I finally realized after many years, one thing that bothered, something about this little kid that just kept tugging at me. Most of the time, he was the last thing I thought about before falling off to sleep. And it's something, it's funny how God works, but something about this kid kept tugging at me. First thing it was, I found out one day I'm in my little home office and my wife keeps everything for my career. And I'm reading an old newspaper article that I just found on this fire. And I found that kid's name in that article. And I realized that's one of the things that had been bothering me all these years, that I did not know this kid's name. And I can't tell you, Jesse Rubin, when I found that kid's name, what it did to my soul. And then so I got to thinking about this again. It just brought up all these memories. And I realized something, that this kid's purpose, God put that kid on this earth for me. Because this kid profoundly affected my life. He made me a better man, made me a better fireman. But most of all, he made me a better Catholic man. I just can't tell you what this kid did for me. And one thing I want to tell you about, it's important that you do the best that you can do in everything you do. Every night I lay down in my bed or my bunk at the firehouse. He's the last thing I thought about. But Jesse and Reuben, the one thing I could find solace in was I never could think of one thing that me or our guys could have done to have a better outcome. I firmly believe that we did the best we could do. And that's why it's important. So, yeah, man, I just unbelievable what this kid did for my life. Yeah. And I thank him, and I will see him again someday. Where I'll get to really hug him and thank him again.
You know, Todd, that's a very important lesson, because you don't want to go through life saying, what if I had done this? What if I had? And you realize that you did the best you could. That was God's divine providence, or, you know, his permissive will. And it's always tough to lose somebody, to have somebody die during your watch or on your watch. But it's even more tragic to lose children. And I know guys that I've worked with that have gone to baby not breathing calls and have, you know, performed CPR, and perhaps the children didn't live. And it really weighs on them, just like you're saying right now. So, yeah, that's a powerful moment, powerful story. And I know our first responders listening can really relate to that.
Hey, Todd, where are you right now in your Catholic faith? Where's Todd Bourgeois right now? Talk to us,
Jesse. I'm on fire with our Catholic faith, man. I received the sacraments probably three to five times a week. During Mass, especially on days I'm off. It's the graces that I get from receiving our Lord. It's unbelievable, you know. And it's something that I guess you really don't understand till you start receiving those graces. And one example I could tell you, Jesse, is the sacrament of reconciliation. It's unbelievable what it does to your heart and your soul. And I look at it this way. When I go to confession, my whole mission is to keep my soul clean. You know, that's the one thought that comes when I think about when I'm fixing up commit a sin is, oh, my God, I can't do this because my soul is clean. And, that's where I'm at today. Daily rosary. I mean, that rosary is so I fell in love with the rosary. And I have to do it every morning. I wake up at 4:30, 5 o'clock. The first thing I do is say my rosary. You know, it's that studying the Catholic faith. I know you guys probably heard of the TFP organization.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been involved in a lot of the Rosary rallies.
Right. We actually have a TFP house here in Lafayette, and I visit regularly with those guys. They're amazing
good men.
Catholics, man. They're very good men, amazing Catholics, and I can say, you know, they've helped me along this journey immensely. I thank them for that every time I see them. But I'm a history buff, man, and I absolutely love studying the history of our church, you know.
The real history, and, right? You know, right, Todd? Not the stuff they teach us in school?
The real history. Y'all remember that guy, Jesse, you're my age. You remember the true catechism that we got, man. It's, you know, it's amazing. And just, you know, but one thing.
The one that doesn't change, right? The little blue one.
That's right, man. It does not change. It's
why did God make us, right?
Why did God make us? You know, what is the purpose of life, right? Well, you know, the natural law, right?
Yes, amen.
But you
hey,
know,
tell me a little bit about. Have you noticed in the last couple of years? Ruben and me use this word a lot on the show. It's called modernism. Since you're a history buff, yeah. You like to read about the history, the true history of the Catholic Church. You know, you read about the Crusades, the Templars, Alta Vendita. why do you think modernism has infiltrated our church to the extent that it has? What things? Why do you think that has happened?
I believe, Jesse, personally, I believe that. I'll tell you this: one of my biggest beliefs is. When they removed the oath against modernism,
bingo,
had a big reason for that.
We agree. Happening. Both of us agree. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I believe not just the clergy. I believe every Catholic should take that oath.
Right. We did it here on the show.
God, you're right, guys. I mean, and Jesse, you think about this. We took an oath of office, right?
Absolutely.
Remember that?
Yep. Yep.
Well, so why shouldn't we take an oath for our Catholic Church against modernism? I mean, it's, you know, I believe that was one of the biggest things that affected our church.
You're preaching to the choir, Todd. Yeah. Thank you.
One of the biggest mistakes.
Yep. All right. We'll be back on the other side of the break to hear this tremendous captain, this Catholic captain that is sharing his story with us. You're listening to Jesus 911.
Welcome to our January 11th, 2020 Spiritual Warfare Conference. Every year without fail, this is our most popular, well-attended event. This year's Spiritual Warfare Conference will host Adam Bly, a Catholic demonologist, and an auxiliary member of the International Association of Exorcists, along with Dr. Luis Sandoval, a psychiatrist who's part of the Healing, Deliverance, and Exorcism team for the Diocese of Orange. These two gentlemen bring tons of experience and expertise in the area of spiritual warfare. This is going to be a high-information Catholic seminar. I'll be there as well, sharing some riveting stories on the diabolical and liberation found through Jesus Christ from my best-selling book, The Devil in the City of Angels. Mark your calendars, come and join us, and meet other radio hosts from Jesus 911. Contrary to popular belief, spiritual warfare is not demon-centered. It's Christ-centered. Come join us and learn how to armor up and fight the good fight of faith. Catholics, wake up. Don't hit the snooze button. Join us at St. Christopher Catholic Church, 629 South Glendora Avenue, West Covina, California, on January 11, 2020. See you then. Strength and honor in Jesus' name.
This is Terry Barber. I want to invite you to take advantage of having your funeral or your loved one's funeral at the Sacred Heart Chapel in downtown Covina. It's a 115-year-old church, beautiful chapel. And all you got to do is call me at 661-972-7872, and I'll personally make the arrangements with your mortuary to have your funeral or your loved one's funeral here at Sacred Heart Chapel. You won't regret it. 661-972-7872. God love you.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
We are back. Jesus 911, where iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. And we certainly have somebody who's iron today, sharpening us all our blades up here. We have Fire Captain Todd Bourgeois from the Lafayette Fire Department in Louisiana. And he's sharing his riveting story with us and some of the things that brought him back to the faith and how he's an on-fire Catholic now. And, you know, Todd, you know, I'm sure you've been reading up and listening to what's been going on in our church right now. We have this Amazonian synod that's going on in Rome. What's your take on this? What do you think is going on up there? You think this is this everything falling in line with the perennial teachings of the church?
I believe it's personally, Reuben. I believe it's pure outright heresy. I mean, with the pagan ceremonies in the Vatican Garden and you know, thank God, I don't know who these men were that took these I call them pagan images, statues, whatever they were, and threw them in the Tiber River. I was like, man, thank God for these men, you know, because
just guys, like, are heroes.
The only thing better would have been to take a Louisville Slugger to them.
Yeah, right. But yeah, and that was in one of our churches, or God's churches. So God bless those guys. But, you know, I pray for Pope Francis every day. We all do. It's going to work out. You know, guys, I get so upset because of what's going on. And I have to bring myself back down to earth and say, hey, hang on now. The only thing can happen is what God allows to happen.
That's
and
right.
I believe it's just a test of our faith, and you know, we have to fight for the church and keep praying. Mm-hmm. And Our Lady already has crushed Satan's head, you know.
Amen.
And as humans, I was thinking about this yesterday. As humans, that's so hard to understand. But with our faith, we believe it. As humans, we think of, you know, past, present, future, whereas in God's, there is no time. So that has already happened. And it's hard for us to fathom that, but our faith tells us that it happened, you know. And I know that's hard to explain. You guys probably know it better than I do, but and that's what I just think about, you know, that his church, the gates of hell will never prevail against his holy Catholic and apostolic church. And we have to believe in that. Our job is to save souls and get others to believe that, you know?
Yeah. I totally agree with you. We're not in management. We're in sales. We're just the little guys. And this church belongs to Jesus Christ. One thing that we do know before Christ comes back, that there will be a great persecution. Is this the one? Possibly. This could probably be the persecution that, in fact, the Catechism talks about in paragraph 675. The Bible calls it a great tribulation in Revelation chapter 19. The word tribulation means persecution. So before Jesus comes back, it's not going to be a walk in the park. It's not going to be, a day in Disneyland. There's going to be persecution. And so that's just part of salvation history. So that's the first point that I would make. And the second point that I would make is this, is that there's a classic book called True Devotion to Mary by St. Louis de Montfort. In there on two different locations of the book, he writes that before the second coming of Christ, that Mary is raising up an army right now. How do you know if you're in Mary's army to fight against the evil that we're going to experience in the Great Tribulation, Revelation 19, or this great persecution, as the Catechism says in paragraph 675. What are we going to do? Again, you will know that you're in Mary's army if you're praying the rosary every day. That's how you know you're enlisted. And when she comes back, and as St. Louis de Montfort says, before Christ comes back, there's going to be a great age of Mary. And so let's just make sure that we're part of that Mary's soldiers, praying our rosary every day and devoted to the Blessed Mother.
And wearing our
wearing our brown scapulars, miraculous medal, and being what I call mama's boys.
Very good.
Yes.
That's right.
And you know, Jess.
I was just going to say, Todd, that Jesse, that just as Christ went through his scourging and you know, his tribulation and all the things that he went up leading up to his crucifixion, the church, being the body of Christ, also has to resemble Christ. And so we're going through that, the scourging right now, and we're carrying our cross, and that's all that has to happen. So, you know, and Justin and I, we talked about this yesterday. You know, it's our opinion that we're seeing this is part of like the Fatima curse by the lack of our prelates to consecrate Russia to her Immaculate Heart, as she clearly stated. And there's a lot of people in the church that think it's been done, but many more are some people that I really respect.
There's definitely a split opinion on that.
Yeah.
And all we're saying is that, yes, it's been done, but not properly, not according to the Fatima mandate. Has the whole world been consecrated? Yeah, several times by several popes. Yeah. And I'm sure there's some residual grace that falls upon earth and countries because of that. But the specific Fatima one consecrating Russia, even the, you know, somebody who's apolitical, Father Gabriel Amort, the Vatican exorcist, he says he was there, because I was right behind St. John Paul II. He says, and people were yelling at him. He said, "Don't say Russia, don't say Russia. They're going to get angry." And so at the last minute, Pope John Paul II consecrated the whole world to the and Father Amorth writes about that clearly, and he writes that as the faithful son of the church. Yeah.
But
moving on, let's go back to let's on a micro level, what are you involved in right now, Todd? Tell us what apostolic works you're involved in right now. You're involved with TFP. What else are you involved with?
Yes, I'm involved with the TFP. I do a lot of things with those guys. I'm also, Jesse, I do. I am a motivational speaker, and I do the leadership training at our department for all the new recruits in the Fire Academy, and. You know, I'm kind of a sneaky guy, so I sneak in the natural law and those kind of things into my leadership course. And I do evangelize the guys, especially the guys at my firehouse, you know. Matter of fact, I have one young guy that's getting married next month. And I'm really evangelizing with him, you know, because he's going to become a father, and he is Catholic, and so I'm working on him, you know, and he is a good Catholic. He just needs some urging and advice. And I guess you could say he kind of treats me as a father figure. And I just trying to catechize him and send him in the right direction, you know, because, you know, as the world today is just, it's against us, man. It's, you know, and I attribute that to one thing, Jesse and Ruben, is I think life has gotten too easy today. And, you know, suffering is such a good thing for us. And nobody suffers anymore today. And I have a little spin.
Yeah, because everybody's got their medical marijuana. That's why. And their CBD oil. Right. So nobody wants to suffer.
Yeah.
And, you know, I put a little first responder spin on that. I try to tell this to these guys. When we go to a fire, we have to suffer. You know, especially a good fire. When you crawl in there and that heat's pushing you to the floor and it's your hair singeing and it's hard. And then you go back to the firehouse and the mood is so joyous and joyful. It's like, why is it like that? Because you suffered to do something that was honorable and good. And I relate that to life. When you suffer, your life is so much better. And, So, yeah, I just put that little spin on it, and I try to put it to those guys that way. Think about that, you know. The harder you work, right, the better you feel when it's over.
That's right.
So. Yeah, there's dignity. One, St. John Paul II said that we receive dignity. We feel dignity and worth when we render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, when we do a good job in whatever our state in life is. So you're absolutely right. Hey, Todd, tell us a little bit about what we as lay Catholics should be doing to fight and protect Holy Mother Church. Give us kind of some, you know, macro and then some micro things that we should be doing as lay Catholics, you know, to advance the cause of Christ and not to shrink from our duties. A lot of people, you know, make excuses. Oh, but Bishop so-and-so. Oh, but Father so-and-so. You know, when we die, yeah, Jesus is not going to say to Todd or Jess or Reuben, hey, what about Cardinal McCarrick? How come you guys weren't, you know, telling him to stop? I'm not in charge of Cardinal McCarrick. Neither is Reuben or you. Yeah. We're in charge of our own soul and our kids and That's our right. wives.
That's right.
And so talk about some of the yeah. things that we could do on a practical level without, you know, worrying about McCarrick and other people yeah. in the Vatican that I'll never have yep. any contact with. What should we That's be right. doing on a micro level as lay Catholics to fight and protect Holy Mother Church?
That's right, Jesse. You nobody could have put it better. You know, we have no control of God. We have control of ourselves, our friends, our families, especially our spouses, our kids, and our grandkids. You know, we have to bring all these people back to the faith. You know, the daily rosary, the sacraments, prayer, you know, like bring Sundays back, what Sunday's supposed to be. I remember Bishop Fulton Sheen once said, he said on Sunday during the 1950s and the early 60s, the streets in our towns were deserted because the stores were closed on Sunday. You couldn't find anything open on Sunday. You went to church as a family. You went home, families got together, you cooked a big lunch, and you sat around and relaxed, and you made Sunday what our good Lord, our blessed Lord, made Sunday to be, you know. That's what we have to do. And we have to speak it all from the rooftops and endure and enjoy and welcome the
right.
persecution.
That's
and
right.
wear it as a badge of honor. And Amen. Because you guys, you know, hey, our reward is not of this earth. It's not.
Hey, Todd.
Right.
Can you stay with us on another segment? We're going to be talking about an article on the traditional Latin Mass.
Yeah.
Sure, God. It would be an honor. Sure.
All right. Stay tuned. We'll be coming right back.
Welcome, Daniel. You're on the line. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, I just wanted to share a testimony about Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I had a buddy at work who, you know, he's a lukewarm Catholic guy, and I wanted him to start listening to the Terry and Jesse show, so I kept telling him to download the app, and he kept putting me off. So one day, I grabbed his phone, and I downloaded the app for him. I went on vacation, and you know, I kept telling him to listen to it. He was kind of put me off. I came back from vacation. He comes to my cubicle and he says to me, hey, man, I've been listening to Terry and Jesse's show and it's great. And it's made a big impact in his life. The guy, he's going to weekly adoration a couple times a
wow.
week. He goes to the mass in the morning. Mm-hmm. He's an on fire Catholic and he promotes the Terry and Jesse show and the Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Wow. Daniel, what a testimony. And I want to encourage our listeners to get those cards by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and do what Daniel's doing. Go out and spread the faith by inviting people to listen to Virgin Most Powerful. Daniel, thanks for your testimony, brother. God love you.
You're welcome.
Says, by faith, we come to understand. According to St. Augustine, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. May God grant us a strong living faith in Him and His divine plan of salvation, and help us to believe so that we may understand.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
We are back, Jesus 911. We have a special guest on the phone. On the line here is Captain Todd Brousois, captain from the Lafayette, Louisiana Fire Department. He shared his story with us, and we're going to kind of transition to an article that Jesse and I saw that it talks about the annual census shows that prolific growth at the FSSP parishes, you know, the Fraternity of St. Peter. They do the traditional Latin Mass. And Todd, you mentioned to me in our conversation that is the Mass of your upbringing and one that you would prefer to go to if it was available to you locally. Is that correct?
Yeah. So Todd, why do you think that is? Why do you think that there's this growth in the Latin Mass, which a lot of the modernists say nobody wants Latin no more. Everybody wants drums and electric guitars. Everybody wants to hold hands. Nobody wants to kneel down. That stuff's arcane. You have a lot of modernists that will phooey the Latin Mass that was celebrated for 1,500 years. Why do you think, Todd, that all of a sudden now we're seeing, according to censuses that are taken, that they're booming all over the church, the country, everywhere that they're open up these Catholic masses that offer the Latin Mass? Why do you think that's happening? And by the way, let me ask and why is it that in many, I mean, if you see, you, me, and Ruben, we're diehards. We're not going to go anywhere. We know the truth, and the truth's going to set us free. But the fact is, the Catholic Church is bleeding out in many places. Why do I say that?
Right.
A Pew study just came out last week, said that in the last five years, we went from 23% of Catholics to 20% of Catholics going to Mass now. So we've lost 3% in 5 years. And we know we lost a huge, in 1965, 75% of Catholics were going to Mass on Sunday before 1965. 75% of American Catholics were going to Mass right now. About 40 years later, 25%. And now, as of this week, 20%.
Hey Jess, I'll go one step further too, is that another study came out where it said that 99% of traditional Latin Mass Catholics said they attend weekly Mass, compared with only 22%, or as you said, 20% now, of Novus Ordos. And 2% of TLM attendees approved of contraception versus 89% of Novus Ordo attendees. Just saying.
Right.
So let's get Todd's take on it. What do you think, Todd?
Yeah, Jess, that's right. You know, I still go to the Latin Mass. We have one. It's about a 30-minute drive for me, so I probably attend the old traditional Latin Mass on average once a month. And I'll put it to you this way.
How do you find it different?
Put it to you this way. You can look over in like a couple of Sundays ago. I looked over to my left during the Latin Mass, and I saw tears coming down from people's eyes. It's just the ceremony, the Mass, it's a sacrifice of the Mass. It's something that touches your soul. And that's why it's growing, because people are getting the true Catholic Mass when they go to the traditional Latin Mass. There's no tambourines and drums and guitar strumming. It's the traditional music, the Gregorian chant, and there's nothing more beautiful and soothing to the soul than to sit down in a Latin Mass and to experience the true sacrifice of the Mass. And that's why it's growing. I mean, you bring people with you to the Latin Mass, And for instance, we had a firefighter that me and some friend of ours, he was gone from the church for many years, and we brought him back to the church, thank God. And he started going to the Latin Mass, and he will go to nothing else. Wow. And it's just an amazing thing. And you know, he said this to me one day. I told him, his name's Lonnie. I said, you know, I'm going to Mass Saturday evening at the cathedral because we had to work the next day, the Sunday. He says, I told him, I said, would you like to come with me to that Mass? And he said, no. He said, I have to go to the Latin Mass because if I go to the Novus Ordo, I'm afraid I'm going to fall back out, you know. it's just a profound thing for him to say that. You know what I'm saying? It's just an amazing thing, and that's why the traditional parishes are growing, I believe,
yeah,
because of the true faith. They say if you go to the traditional Mass for, I think it's 3 months straight, they said you'll do nothing else. So.
Well, right. It takes 21 days to develop a habit. So if you went,
right, yeah,
did that. So, but there's a parish here. Jesse's familiar with it because it's in his old neck of the woods in the San Fernando Valley.
Ruben, I already told you, had that parish established itself, that would have been enough for me to stay in California. Had that been there, I would have said, I'm going to pinch my nose, mm-hmm, and I'll live in California till I drop dead. Yeah. Had St. Vitus been there before I left, it didn't open up till like 5 years after I left.
Yeah,
I told the pastor because I met him, and he said, "Jess, how come you left?" I said, "Because you weren't here. That's why."
Yeah. Well, they saw their numbers doubled from 250 per Sunday to 500, and it only opened last year.
St. Vitus,
yeah, in San Fernando. And so it's happening. We're seeing that all over the place. It says that in Naples, Florida, the FSSP has been operating for less than 2 years and is nearly 400 people per Sunday, up over 20% from the year before. And there's also, he pointed out that there's not only the liturgy that draws the growing congregation, it's more like just the Latin Mass. They're coming for the community, the life, the prayers, the groups, the different things that they have for the kids, the catechesis. And because they're, he says, they're a small community. They have two priests. They all get to know each other. The families truly bond.
Right.
And Philadelphia also, they're seeing an increase, uptick in Latin Mass attendees. So it's, you know, the one thing that I have to comment on these FSSP parishes, because the same thing has happened also with, you know, some of these other orders. You know, they're seeing even the SSPX, the fraternities, the Christ the King, their numbers are up. And it has to do with some of the chaos that they're seeing in the parishes. But the sad fact remains that where they establish the FSP, where they operate, you know, they operate at the pleasure of the local bishops and of that particular diocese. And I've noticed that most, if not all, the churches that turn into TLM, Traditional Latin Mass only parishes, are in low-income areas.
Yeah.
You know, why do you think that's the case? You know, my opinion,
they do that on purpose.
The bishop tolerates them in those areas because he figures the attendance will be low. It will discourage them from continuing and from going in there. Oh, I'm not going to that, you know, low-income area. There's crime there. So in reality, it's proved just the opposite, as people are traveling great distances, and in many cases, to attend the Mass of all time. The Mass canonized by the great Pope St. Pius V at the Council of Trent. So that's my take on that. But
yeah, well, it's actually backfired on them. Yeah. You know, they think they got put in those areas, and it's still exploding. So, and it's the Latin too, guys. You know, the language of our church is the Latin language. And just like the rosary, Jesse, I want to say something, because I remember you doing an interview with Dr. Taylor Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about an exorcism you assisted with. And you said, if I remember right, correct me, when you guys started praying the Hail Mary in Latin, the demon became violent and he began to vacate. Is that correct?
I've seen it several times. That's why I'm a Catholic, that my heart grieves, because I've probably seen more than most priests or bishops. I have actually seen, not read about, I've actually seen the power of the Latin prayers over somebody who's demonized. And I can tell you, I've seen it. I've seen people obsessed, possessed, oppressed, prayed over in Spanish, little effect. English, little effect. Any language, it has some effect. Don't get me wrong, because they are the prayers of the church. But when the priest goes into Latin, when he knows the Latin and he starts praying it, it's like from going from a Glock or a 9mm to an AR-15. And just even after the person will tell you, the possessed person will tell you that these prayers, what the heck was this, Father? These things were so powerful that it drove everything out of my body, every single spirit. I've seen this again and again. If I could just capture this and give this to every bishop in the United States, that they haven't seen this. They probably just heard lectures of Latin, you know, back in the Middle Ages. I've actually seen what it does right now in 2019. It's now I know why it's the language of the church and why God has preserved it, because it literally makes hell tremble, and it drives out the diabolical in the mouth of a holy priest.
That's amazing,
that's
Jesse.
Right.
Many years ago, and I can't remember who told me this, and they told me that the devil hates Latin, and he retreats when he hears those Latin prayers. So, you know, I do my rosary every day in Latin because of that.
Good man.
Look, if I can learn Latin, anybody can. Somebody, my sister-in-law, asked me one day, she says, how did you learn the rosary in Latin? And I told her, you can learn anything on YouTube.
That's right.
We were just talking about this. We're going to start praying, saying the a Latin prayer every start of every show. So, hey, we're wrapping up the show, Todd. Captain Bourgeois, I really thank you for being on with us, and you're an inspiration to not only to us, but to other first responders, all those that are listening to our show today, and continue to fight the good fight and walk the walk and talk the talk. So you're the real deal, Captain. And thank you for listening. And any last parting thoughts?
God, thank you so much for what you do, because the people you inspire is unbelievable. You don't know to what extent that what you guys are doing for our Catholic faith, and it's just an honor to spend some time with fellow first responders and fellow devout Catholics, and I really appreciate you allowing me to be here today.
Well, it's been our
Roger
our
that,
honor.
Captain. Yep.
Yep. I have to look you up when I go to Louisiana.
You bet. You bet you will.
All right.
All right.
You've been listening to Jesus 911 on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And you just heard a man's man right there. So let's continue the good fight, guys. And pray your rosary. Then adoration. Get to confession.
Read your Bibles. Wear your sacramentals. Go to confession.
Be churched up.
And prayed up.
Right. Who are we waiting for next? Who's next, Jesse?
Gary Machuda, Hands-On Apologetics, Sensei Gary.
Right.
The black belt of Catholic apologetics.
Right.
Yep.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.